You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Yeah, I have noticed that there's a distinct flavor difference between Canadian whiskeys and the Irish whiskeys and the Scotch. And I mean, they're all in the whiskey family and the bourbons. But there's a distinct flavor difference between each one of those.
Yeah. We are just totally going off on our liquor here.
Let's do this. Hey, there is,
I'm sure there's a retro tie-in that we could throw it in.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Old granddad. So I actually used to listen, or I listened to a few episodes. I didn't listen to it regularly, but it was a podcast where this woman would go on there and she would try different whiskeys or bourbons, I think it was, and just talk about random stuff by herself. She would just go on, tell stories or whatever, and she would talk a little bit about whatever bourbon she's trying that week.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's an audience out there, obviously. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we're podcasting, normally we're not talking about what we're drinking, but we are.
Right.
Not like we have right now.
Yeah. Do you want to get started then?
We'll go ahead and get started. I didn't see anything from Rose, so we're just going to keep it between us here then.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's verify the file is growing. It is. Good. All right.
Oh, yeah. I didn't check mine.
So you ready?
Oh, yeah. We're good.
Okay.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Banzai Retro Club podcast. I am your host, Dave, your ghost host. Kindly step all the way in, please, and make room for everyone. There's no turning back now. Our tour begins here in the gallery, where you see paintings of some of our guests, our co-host, Scott.
Hello.
As they appeared in their corruptible mortal state. Your cadaverous Paula portrays an aura of foreboding, almost as though you sense a disquieting metamorphosis. In this podcast, is it actually stretching? Or is it your imagination? And consider this dismaying observation. This podcast has no windows and no doors, which offers you this chilling challenge to find a way out. Of course, there's always my way. Welcome to Bonsai Retro Club. I'm Dave. We got Scott online, and we are going to be talking through 80s horror movies. That's right, kids. We did 70s, and now we're going to be talking about our favorite 1980s horror movies. So it's going to be tough to kind of nail down our best of the best, but I know that Scott and I are up for that challenge. So you ready for this, Scott?
Yeah.
You weren't ready for the Disney World thing, were you?
No, that was good, dude. I was not prepared for the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, gotta throw that out there.
I gotta tell you, I was more of the Disneyland guy because I grew up in Southern California.
Sure, of course.
So, but I knew that's the same exact thing they said there too, and that was always one of our favorite attractions to go on was the Haunted Mansion.
Oh my God, I love that ride. Absolutely love that ride. So between that and the Pirates of the Caribbean, good stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
Yep, for sure.
Let's see.
Or a bottle of whiskey.
Bottle of whiskey, tell them or do whatever floats your boat. So we're talking about our favorite 1980s movies, or favorite 1980 horror movie, to go along with our whole October theme. I guess without revealing your favorite, were you into horror movies a lot?
Oh yeah, I watched a lot of them. And in fact, back then I used to subscribe to this magazine called Famous Monsters.
Okay.
And during the time that I was subscribing to it, this is probably I was about 14 or 15, and getting into the horror movie genre, being scared and freaked out by that stuff. But I remember the Famous Monsters magazine. I used to have a bunch of them, man. And they were, it was in that time when there were so many of them coming out, all the slasher movies, which is what when you bring up horror movies, the first thing I think of is slashers, Yeah. But then when I was looking at the list, I'm like, okay, well, these are supernatural horror movies too. And then there's some that are sci-fi horror.
Right.
So I was really having struggling, trying to narrow down what really is my favorite of them, or which one I can't say favorite because there's different sub-genres within that horror,
Yeah.
I had to narrow it down to what's my favorite, or what is the one I most had the most fun watching.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I guess which one of the, of all of them would you be watching? Wouldn't mind watching over and over again? I guess that's what we're trying to get to.
There's several that I've seen many times.
Okay.
And, yeah, dude, it's really tough. I don't know. The number one is not an easy one to do. It's just number one.
But it's kind of how you had described, hard rock before. You have the different subgenres, and it depends on your mood, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending if you're in the mood for a sci-fi thriller or or a slasher. I mean, Halloween this time of year, you got to bust out the slasher movies that are the Halloween theme or Friday the 13th or stuff like that,
Right, right.
So we usually, I know my wife is a huge fan of the whole Halloween series. There's a couple in there that she just did not like at all, but there's a few that are definitely her favorites as far as the genre goes. And so pretty much every year we have all the, a bunch of the DVDs, and we start watching the DVDs. Although this year we're probably going to stream. We'll probably find some on streaming because we've gone into, now we have Netflix, Prime, and Hulu.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and we're very close to jumping into the Hulu bandwagon ourselves.
Yeah, well, now they do live TV, and I'm able to watch football games without having to pay $350 to DirecTV every year.
Yeah, yeah, we're looking to cut the cord, and you know, we're done. we're done with the customer service, and you know, the monthly, you know, fees that they keep jacking up. But
oh yeah,
but that's a whole different topic. I never really was a big horror dude. I mean, I like horror movies, and I, you know, I've seen my fair share, but I don't know. It was just like, it wasn't one of those things where it had to be, you know, my go-to movie. So, but I've, you know, the ones that are, you know, that I pulled up when I did Google 1980s horror movies, you know, there's so many of these I've seen. So it's like, you know, I enjoy the genre, but it's not like one of those things where I've got to every year, you know, start a, you know, movie watching marathon of horror movies. Even though this year there is one specific one that I know has to be on my watch list. So I've got to find a time to do that. And I know that we're going to get to that. But yeah, so for me, you know, horror was, it's kind of out there. I enjoyed it, but it was like it wasn't one of those, I have to kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The way I kind of was going towards the, you know, my favorite. It's definitely for the rewatchability. It's one that I wouldn't mind watching over and over again just because it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where my head's at with that.
Hey, everybody. This is Rose from Bonsai Retro Club. I'm sneaking one in from the 80s. The guys don't know. Shh, don't tell them. But I have to give a major shout out to the Monster Squad. My kids and I loved this movie. To this day, we waited 25 years for this movie to come out on DVD. And it was definitely worth the wait. And it had like extra footage and everything. If you've never seen this movie, it's five youngsters that find themselves up against the combined might of Dracula, the Mummy, the Gill Man, Frankenstein's monster, who all arrive in search of the magic amulet. Your scary German guy, he's actually really good. He knows a lot about his monster history, and mom and dad are kind of like clueless, like they always are. And little sister is trying to, you know, she's the one that ends up saving everybody's bacon. So screenplays by Shane Black and Fred Decker. Check it out. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out. And yeah, Wolfman's got nards.
I guess going right into it, what is your favorite 1980s horror movie?
So I'm gonna have to have a few honorable mentions at the end.
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, just quick. No. Like, I'm just gonna read them off.
Hell no.
Oh, come on.
All right, fine. Be that way. Go ahead.
All right.
Come on, man. You can do it. Spit one out there.
All right. I'm going to go with something that's not as... It's a little more obscure. But I had a lot of fun watching it. I remember going to the theater and watching this and going, that was a blast. And that is Return of the Living Dead.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It was just, you know, the zombie movies have always been something that I like. I always enjoyed the zombie movies. I don't know why, you know, I loved watching The Walking Dead and all that stuff. It got a little crazy once all the zombies all died off. It kind of made no sense. It was just the living fighting each other again. But, you know, the first four or five seasons of The Walking Dead was really good. And then The Walking Dead, the spinoff series that they did that happened, how they showed it actually happening. I can't remember what it's called now. Something about The Walking Dead. Anyway.
But so the zombie. The spinoff for The Walking Dead?
Yeah, The Walking Dead. And then
Fear the Walking Dead.
Fear the Walking Dead, yes. Yeah. I thought that was good too. But I go back to the 80s and even before that. With the you know, the black and white one back in the 70s, early 70s or late 60s or whatever it was, the Day of the Dead or Dawn of the Dead. I can't remember which one it is. But I just remember watching all of these. And then when Return of the Living Dead came out, I'm like, me and my buddy are like, oh, we got to go see this. This just looks like, you know, it's kind of a comedic twist on the zombie movies, really. Even though it still has the same of, you know, same ideas that the zombies want to eat you. Actually, they want your brains. And that's where brains, you know, that's great. So and the punkers that were in it were a good sign of the times of the '80s, you know, the way that this group of punkers that roll into this graveyard and they're just out there trying to have some fun, you know, getting crazy, having fun. And that's when, you know, the dead start coming alive and they end up in this morgue. And I remember in the beginning of the movie that in the morgue is when they spilled some kind of chemical and the gas was coming in the vent, and it got onto this dog that was like cut in half, like a science project. It's like laying on the ground half alive, you know, it's half, literally half cut, like a, not cut in half front to back, but cut in half like a side, what do you call that? Cross section.
Okay.
Of a dog, a little dog. Cross section of a little dog. And he's on the ground with just two legs, like moving around, and he's barking. It's very bizarre. Anyway, I just thought it was a lot of fun, just craziness, you know, just something totally different. You know, it was a good change of pace, considering all the slasher movies that have been coming out for the last couple of years, from like Halloween in the 70s, you know, and then it went into Friday the 13th, and then there's part two and part three and part four and of all the, you know, Halloween and Friday the 13th, and then other movies that were other parts. So this one was just a different take on it. So that's my pick. Did you ever see this one?
I did not. I really didn't get into the zombie genre until mm-hmm. much later. Like, I mean, yeah. I remember the first zombie flick that I really got into was like Dawn of the Dead, which is like, mm-hmm. what, 2000 something. That was like the Ving Rhames.
That's a remake from the original.
Okay.
Yeah, where they end up in a mall, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the early ones. There was one made in like 72 or 74 or something like that. That was one of the original zombie movies that takes place in a mall and they all get trapped. And
yeah.
So yeah, but the Ving Rhames one, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think that and then getting into Dawn of the Dead, I mean, I really, mm-hmm. you know, so yeah, I'm a late bloomer from the zombie genre, but mm-hmm. I mean, I really enjoy it, you know, and I think it's a lot of fun when you go to, you know, like Six Flags Fright Night and you get like all those people that are, you know, all makeuped up and just kind mm-hmm. of like in your face to scare the shit out of you. Love it. Absolutely love it. So I feel I'm a late adopter. So I don't have much on Return of the Living Dead, you know, but you know, I guess I'm open to, you know, going back and not going back, but you know, revisiting or visiting things that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So if you were to pick a zombie movie from the 80s, if we stuck to a genre, would Return of the Living Dead sounds like it'd be yours then?
Oh yeah. It's fun. It's a fun zombie movie. It's not as, you know, some of them became a little bit on the darker side, but this one is just more, it's really kind of a, like a dark comedy, you know?
Okay. Is it like campy then?
I've never been really sure what that term means.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I guess if I had to describe it right off my head. I don't know where it's more important to kind of make a joke than to be scary.
Like, would you say Evil Dead 2 is campy?
Yeah, I guess okay. So. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think this was more.
It's very borderline campy.
I would say it was campy then, yeah.
Okay.
If that's the term, then yeah. Okay. Because it definitely has its comedic aspects to it.
Okay. You know? And you would figure, you know, if there was a situation where there's a lot of dead rising up, there's really not a lot of room to, you know, start making jokes.
Right.
So I don't know if it's really that far off base from what you would expect from real world behavior.
Well, like if you look at the cover of the video or the DVD or whatever, their tagline is they're back from the grave and ready to party.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay, I guess I would call that campy.
Yeah, you know, I mean you think something like The Walking Dead, you know, I feel that something like that were to be more real to life as to what would actually happen.
Right.
You know, if we were in the middle of a zombie apocalypse and, you know, let's say for instance that you didn't have all the technology and power that you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with, you know, just survival. That would be kind of the dark and, you know, just the survival aspects. And there probably wouldn't be as much openness to joking around. I mean, some people are wired to be, you know, kind of sarcastic. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that. But, you know, it wouldn't be like every turn. And, you know, if the movie does that, then to me that would be campy. Okay.
All right. So
Return of the Living Dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. I just tried to make a voicemail message to tell you what my picks are for the horror movies of the 80s, and it cut me off at 1:30. So, there you are. Max duration, 90 seconds. So let's make this quick. So my first choice is American Werewolf in London. It stars David Naughton, Griffin Dunn. Two American college students are backpacking through Britain, and a large wolf attacks them. One lives, one dies. And pretty much I think you can figure out what happened in the rest of the movie. I would watch it more than once. There's quite a few scenes in it that kind of make you go, what did he say? It was released August 21st, 1981, directed by John Landis, screenplay by John Landis, special effects, and makeup by Rick and Elizabeth Baker. Excellent film. Watch it if you can. I watch it every year for Halloween. It's one of my favorites. See you guys in the 90s.
Let's see. So moving to my pick, and then much like you, there was, you know, a lot of great movies to try to decide on, and it was tough. It was so tough not to go down the road of Night of the Comet.
Just
because we have that kind of personal history.
Oh yeah.
You know, with that movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially with Kelly Maroney.
Kelly Maroney, right, because we talked to her, and and I'm like, I want to go that road, but I could not ignore the greatness that is Creepshow.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, so I have to give my nod to Creepshow. Just, this is the movie that I could just have fun rewatching over and over again.
And this is campy, too.
Well, yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I love the whole setup of this movie, and I love the way that, you know, it's kind of bookended with this kid, you know, looking at horror comic books, and each one of it, you know, each segment of the comic book kind of introduces the segment from the movie, from the crate being Adrian Barbeau to Something to Tide You Over with Leslie Nelson, they're creeping up on you.
Wasn't Ted Danson in that too?
Ted Danson was in the Something to Tide You Over. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father's Day, and then of course Stephen King doing The Lonesome Death of Geordie Verrill.
Yeah, and I mean he was the writer for all these anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I was a huge Stephen King fan at the time, so I totally this is a great pick, and it slipped through my it slipped through. I didn't see this one on the list. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It is, I don't think I've seen it like every year, but right now, if I were to be, you know, looking for that kind of genre of movie, and I'm scrolling mm-hmm. through like Netflix, and I see it, I'm clicking, I'm watching.
Yeah.
You know, I love this, absolutely love it, and you know, to, you know, have the comic book as part of the whole introduction and ending.
Yeah, and yeah, it and goes between, right into, between segments too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'd see it flip into the next page, and it would be that next the next story.
Yeah, and it's, you know, me being, you know, into the comic books back mm-hmm. then, it spoke to me, you know, in so many yeah. ways. And every segment was just so well done. Mm-hmm. You know, Father's Day, nice and creepy. The guy at the end where he's like, he just wanted his cake. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of a sudden it's somebody's head. You know, it's like, oh, my God. You know, like, I love it. Absolutely love it. And something to tie you over with Leslie Nelson trying to, you know, he buries his, I guess, the lover of his wife. And then they both kind of, like, die and then come back as these yeah. zombie things. And,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course he's like watching everything because he got cameras all over the place. So that right there just amps up the, the foreboding factor of oh shit, something's going to happen because all you see is these cameras and him freaking out because he knows something's happening or something's not quite right. Adrienne Barbeau is absolutely fantastic as the bitch in The Great.
The drunk bitch in The Great. Yeah. Yeah, that one. I think that. Segment of the show of the movie was my favorite part.
Okay.
Like that story was my favorite story of the four or five?
Oh, geez,
it's four.
Great. Something tied you
Father's up. Day. Something they're creeping up on you is the cockroach one.
Five then.
There's five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the one with Stephen King was the short, like yeah. the shortest of the five.
Yeah, that was just the one where he caught the where he got the meteorite.
He found the comet, yeah.
Yeah, the meteorite or the comet or whatever, and
yeah.
it like busted it, and then he just every time it like something happened to it, it was like less money that he was going to get or less famous.
And then the moss, the green moss that grew on his fingers, and then yeah. he started touching his face, and it started getting all over his. It was on his tongue.
Oh yeah.
But the going back to the crate, oh, that was such. It was so fun to watch that. And, you know, the buildup of Adrienne Barbeau being, you know, this nasty drunk bitch that's Hal Holbrook's wife. You know, he had these several, like daydreaming where he was like fantasizing about how he was going to kill her.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, she's gabbing on, just yelling at yep. him in the middle of the party, and he just pulls out a gun and shoots her right between the eyes. You know, and then, you know, he snaps out of it, of course, because that's not even what he ends up doing. But, and then when he, you know, he pushes her in the crate at the end, the crate that's under the stairs in the garage or in the basement or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, the one with the creature in it. Yeah.
Yeah. The creature that they never quite showed until the very last second, and you only got a split second of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Really didn't see the whole thing, which is, you know, a key to horror. You don't show what you're afraid of. Like when we were talking about Jaws last time with the 70s, you know, they didn't show the shark for a long time into the movie until you actually, you know.
Right, you got to build up the anticipation. You know, yeah. of like, what the hell is that? You know, what the hell is going on? And there's so much about this movie that's so great. And I knew it was one of your faves because I know that you're a Stephen King fan. So, mm-hmm. So most definitely, I knew that it was going to hit a note with both of us.
I feel like I've been living in the one with the cockroaches lately.
Really? Is there a lot of them coming out scurrying around?
Not a lot, but like, okay, so when we first moved down here, and we've been down there for about 3.5 years now, we first moved down here, you know, that was one of the things. We're like, okay, cockroaches. We know we're going to have to deal with them. You know, right. It's just one of those things. And Chrissy does not like them at all. She just hates. Not that she's afraid of them. She just does not like them. They gross her out or something. And so a couple weeks ago, now there's a couple different types of cockroaches. There's little ones that are only like maybe half inch or 3/4 inch long.
Right.
Okay. And they have a name for them. I can't remember what kind they are. And you'll see those every once in a while, and that's okay, you know. But then there's the ones that are like an inch and a half long, the big ones.
The palmettos or something like that, I think they're called.
Yeah, they're in the palmetto family.
Okay.
I don't know if I've actually seen a true palmetto, but these are pretty good sized guys. And she saw one in our hall bath the other night, bathroom. And she suddenly screams, "That's it! We're bombing the house!" So, of course, I had to go out and buy, you know, an insect or, you know, one of those bomb things that you set off in the house and kill everything in it. We haven't done it yet because we have company coming in. We didn't want to do it before then. And we want to wait until Sharona goes into the program, too. So we have one less dog to deal with. Anyway,
that segment's what? They're creeping up on you? Is that what that one's called?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's with what's the guy's name? E.G. Marshall?
Yeah.
F.G. E.G. Marshall, yeah.
That's one where he's kind of in seclusion and, you know,
yes, he has room. He has a very sterile environment.
Right.
You know, he's like always making sure that he has everything closed off and stuff. And they just start completely taking over his, they completely flood his whole house and, or not his house, but the lab, whatever it was. It was a weird situation where he had like, it looked like a lab where he like wore a lab coat and stuff. And
yeah, I just consider it a, you know, controlled room. Like, you know, he's like a self-induced, you know,
he's kind of a germaphobe, really.
Yeah, in a bubble of sorts. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, to I guess follow you to pick my favorite segment for that movie, I would go Something to Tide You Over. I really like that one.
That's fun too.
Yeah,
it's a funny, you know, it's a funny little twist.
Yeah, so. Him being just the, well, I mean, obviously those people were, you know, his wife was cheating on him. And, you know, mm-hmm. So he was exacting his sort of revenge. So, it could be said that, those people deserved it, but at the same time, he deserved it, too. So, it was an interesting lesson from Stephen King, you know, to kind of, like, you know, who do you root for? Sorry for the people that are being drowned, but they really kind of brought that on themselves because they were cheating on him. But at the same time, he doesn't have to be, you know, he can be a jerk, but I guess you don't have to kill somebody to be a jerk, right? So I don't know.
Right. Well, I you know, and going back to the whole comic book theme, when they do come back from to get him, you know, once they come back to life or whatever.
Yeah.
As zombies, they come back to get him. And, you know, the camera's like on this hardcore 45 degree angle. And there's these crazy color lights that are on them. And
yeah, that's
like,
right. Yeah.
It's just so, it's so comic book feel, you know?
It is.
And they did that with every segment too. And it was really just cool the way they did that. So this was a good pick, dude. It's a really good pick.
Enjoy talking about that one.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. It's Rose again. This time for the 80s, I would like to be able to give a shout out to another one of my favorite movies from the 80s, The Lost Boys. This movie set the vampire genre of horror movies on its ass. Let me tell you, it was sleek and hip. And Nobody wore a cape, and nobody had glowing eyes. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was amazing. Brought it into modern times, and everybody loved it. I don't know anybody who doesn't love this movie. It was released July 31st, 1987, directed by Joel Schumacher, story by James Jeremias and Janice Fisher. Jason Patrick's in it, Corey Haim's in it, Diane Wiest is in it, Corey Feldman, Jameson Newlander, the list goes on and on. Kiefer Sutherland, of course, is the massively attractive David, and his not really wanting to be his girlfriend, Jamie Gertz. So, it's a great movie. Check it out. You won't regret it. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I think we got to have a couple talk. We have to talk about a couple others that are in this genre or in this whole thing too, because we can't just.
We can't just. All right. Well, you're gonna get your honorable mentions because you kind of like insisted on it. So let's go down that road.
All right. We'll tear your soul apart. Hellraiser.
Okay.
Freaked me out. That was a creepy freaking movie. The supernatural type thing was just, that was really dark and twisted. And the if you actually watched, have you ever seen it?
I have. Yeah.
Oh, geez, man, that is really just bizarre.
Bizarre, sick, and yeah, in
a lot of gore.
Yeah.
It's just really, it is freaking twisted, man. But still,
it's something I haven't told a lot of people, but they recently there was movies called Hostel.
Oh, dude, those are fucked up, man.
Yeah, for some reason, I've seen them. I've seen all of them.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know what it is. It's like one of those train wrecks. I'm like, oh, there's a new one. All right, I gotta see it. So yeah, I don't know why, but for some reason I've kind of hooked onto that. But you're right, they're completely fucked in the head.
Oh yeah. Those are real. Just yeah, gore yeah. fest.
Yeah.
So and then a couple others. I mean, how can we just skip like Nightmare on Elm Street? How can we even not mention Nightmare on Elm Street?
Did I ever tell you about the first time I was watching that with my mother?
No.
I'm watching Nightmare on Elm Street, and
how old were you?
Oh my god, I don't even remember. Let's see. So it came out in what, 84?
84, 85, yeah.
Yeah, so that would put me in, you know, say 13, 14 years old.
Okay.
Probably watching it maybe at 15, I don't, you know, because once it like got on HBO,
right? Video, yeah. VHS, whatever.
Right. Yeah. And so I don't remember how it came about, but I'm sitting there watching it with my mom, and she's actually laughing at Freddy Krueger. And to me, really? That freaked me out more than actually Freddy Krueger. So she's finding the humor in his like smart ass remarks. And I'm like, my mom's laughing at this killer. I'm like, that's wrong on so many levels. So, but yeah, go ahead with your honorable mentions.
Oh, so Friday the 13th, the first one, the original one,
yeah,
came out in 1980, and I could have sworn it was 79. When we were doing the 70s one, I'm looking at it, I'm like going, where is Friday the 13th? I could have sworn it came out like not long after Halloween. But I was wrong. It came out in 1980. So that falls into our 80s topic. And that's just that's another great one. It's a good slasher one, and it's got a twist to it. You know, it ends up being, spoiler alert, it ends up being his mom. It ends up being Jason's mom that's actually doing all the killing in that one.
Yeah.
And then Jason eventually takes over and starts killing the rest of the from Friday the 13th on, part two and on. So that one, oh gosh, what was my other? Hold on. There's so many great ones. Like, Lost Boys falls into kind of the horror theme too.
Yeah.
And that's like one of my all-time favorite movies, just in general. Doesn't even fall into the horror category. You got Aliens, you got The Thing, you got The Shining.
Yeah, and I don't want us to go too far from The Thing. For our listeners, still haven't watched it, and that's the one that I alluded to, where I'm like, I know that's on my mandatory watch list, and I'd like to make it happen.
I'm telling you,
love to make it happen this October. So,
you have a week.
Why do I have a week?
I mean, you have this week.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You have time.
I have time to do it.
Yes, I'm telling you, please. I'm begging you, please watch The Thing. Really.
For the sake of the listeners, let me just, it's not like I'm actively avoiding this movie. It is not that at all. It's just I haven't made time for it. Because, like I said, horror movies have never been a must-watch thing for me. So it's like one of those things where I've heard Scott and Rose tell me it's a must. You've got to see this. And I just haven't made the time for it. And when I'm scrolling through movies, even if I do see it, for some reason, I just don't click in to watch it because I'm going with something that, I already know. So shame on me for that. But I want to make it right. I want to watch this thing because it's been out all this time and I just haven't made the time.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something that I did watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say as recently since we've been doing the podcast, but I want to say in the last about 3 or 4 years, I did see The Reanimator for the first time. I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, I've only seen bits and pieces of that over the years. I never really sat down and watched the whole thing.
That is kind of...
It's pretty twisted, right?
Pretty twisted. Oh, yeah. And it's got its gore moments and kind of... Yeah, it's got some fucked up moments. But it's fun. It's really fun, especially if you're into things like Hostel or, Hellraiser. Then this is the same kind of gore fest thing. But yeah, I actually enjoyed that.
There's so many to list. In the 80s, there were so many. And at first, when we were talking about this topic, I'm like, gosh, I can hardly think of any. Like off the top of my head, I'm thinking, okay, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. And then I was kind of drawing a blank. And then so I had to, when I started looking at the list of, when I did the Google list of horror movies of the 80s, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've seen, like, most of these. Like, what about Poltergeist? It's another great example of one that we just, keeping it to just one pick per person.
God. Now you got me thinking about that chicken with the, all the worms coming out of it. Damn it.
Oh, dude, that was the radical part. When he was digging in his face, he's like tearing his face apart in the mirror.
No, I was talking about when he's eating like a chicken leg.
Yeah,
that
was, that led into the scene. So he's eating the chicken.
And oh my God, why are we talking about this? Come on.
He looks down and he sees the maggots. So he goes into the bathroom and starts spitting it into the sink, and he looks up in the mirror, and that's when he starts seeing like little blood coming out of his cheek.
Yeah.
And then he starts digging, and he just tears his whole face apart.
All right, we can stop talking about this now.
See, like, think about this, man.
I don't want to think about it.
We had to pick one movie, and we have all these to choose from. It's crazy.
And then another great one
was The Fly. The Fly was awesome. Little Jeff Goldblum love for you right there.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum, who's that? Just kidding. But I was going to say The Genius That Is American Werewolf in London. That's another
great one. Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Another great one.
Yeah.
I'm a pepper, too.
We could go on and on. So, let me throw out Fright Night, and then we'll go ahead and close things up.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep, Fright Night, you know, another great one. You know, love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we can keep going on and on, and we're going to try to keep this short. So that's the end of it. That was our you know, favorite, along with several honorable mentions of our 1980s horror movies. So this is Banzai Retro Club's kind of, you know, October horror movie kind of thing that we're doing, you know, going through 70s, 80s, 90s. So the next show up will be our 1990s pick of our favorite horror movie. With that, what we're going to do is we'll do our quick little thing where we remind you that we have our website out there, which is Banzai Retro Club. That's Banzai. That you can go out, you can send us an email on the contact us page. There's also the links to all of our social media. I actually have gotten some really good stuff going on with Instagram lately, so I'm excited about kind of what's going on there.
Cool.
And then Twitter and, you know, Facebook. Facebook isn't really taking off so much for us, but, you know, the other areas are, so that's always fun. Twitter, we're having a lot of great engagement with a lot of other retro people that are doing different things and posting stuff and writing books and blogs, and all those people are super awesome, and I'm so glad that we're collaborating with them, and we kind of share the love of our different, you know, stuff that we're putting out. So please do follow us on Twitter, and when you see stuff where we're tagging a bunch of people, those are usually our retro club, and, you know, you should be following every one of those people because they're all amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. They post a lot of fun stuff, yeah. Both on Facebook and on Twitter. I mean, all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So the other thing that we want to remind you, at the bottom of our website, we have this little thing called Patreon. I know we've been asking for a while for you guys to throw a little something, something to help us keep things running, but, Scott, if you want to beat these guys up, that's cool.
No, you know, it's just a way to show support, and I mean, we're going to continue the show whether we get paid or not, whatever. We love it so much. That's part of why we do it. It just helps us offset some of the costs of keeping the website up and running, and storage for all the podcasts and broadcasting and whatever else, you know, just for our time and efforts that we put into, you know, we have time editing the show. We have time doing the show, and just a little way to say thank you. That's all. So we'd love it.
Yeah, definitely.
If you subscribe, we'll give you more, a little extra behind the scenes stuff that, you know, we have a lot of conversations. Like, you're not gonna hear the conversation about the whiskey that we had for like the for the half hour before we started the show tonight.
Oh yeah, we definitely had different a lot whiskeys. Of, yeah, different liquor talk. It was, yes, great.
So anyway, that's the kind of stuff you would get.
Yeah, not so much retro, but definitely more, fun conversation of getting to know us. Yeah,
and random conversations too.
Yeah, yep.
Like a couple years ago, we got talking on some patriotic stuff about, you know, veterans and whatnot, and we had a good 40-minute conversation just on that. And that was, I believe, we did release it eventually, but it was, you know, the stuff like that we can talk about that isn't so show centric, you know?
Yeah.
It's more just personal experiences and stories of our lives and what's going on at the time or whatever. Like, you get to hear stories about my greyhounds and what we do with the rescue group that we help a lot of greyhounds find homes and stuff like that. So that's what you're missing out on.
Yeah. You probably get to hear a lot more about me, like, you know, looking for jobs,
and finding one.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, that's Patreon. So go on there and you get a little more, get to hear a little bit more of the personal side of the hosts.
Yeah. Yeah. Us, you know, just really enjoying talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even before we even get into the retro stuff, which is just, you know, the reason why we're here, but at the same time, we enjoy each other. Mm-hmm. And it's apparent when you listen to our conversations, and you know, that's the reason why we don't want to just, you know, jump right in, do a show, and then jump out. You know, because we really, you know, we're interested in each other. And I hope it shows. All right, so the other thing that we want you to do, if you got one of those Apple devices, go out there and leave us a review on iTunes. Also, subscribe to the podcast, so please do that. And then this is the part where I remind you to just be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel, son!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 You are a bold and courageous person, afraid of nothing. High on a hilltop near your home, there stands a dilapidated old mansion. Some say the place is haunted, but you don't believe in such myths. One dark and stormy night, a light appears in the topmost window in the tower of the old house. You decide to investigate, and you never return.